You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
And into the second hour we go. During this hour, Sam Bushman and I, the great Sam Bushman's back on TPC. We're going to team up to break down this week's virus-related headlines and fallout. How about Tom Sunick, gang, as we wrap up our march around the world? I would have really liked to have gone to a couple of other ports of call. We didn't make it down to South America. I was going to hop over to Belgium, talk to Philip DeWinter. We were going to go back, circle back to Canada, Dr. Ricardo Duchesne. These were some of the other people we were going to talk to, but the coronavirus, right? I mean, so my recap, very, very quickly, I have been on Sam's show, Liberty Roundtable. I guess it was last week. We did the thing with Red Eyes, Henrik Palmgren, on last Sunday. So I don't quite remember where I said what, but let me just give you my quick recap. I don't know if this is natural or man-made. It could be natural. It could be man-made. But what I do know is it seems to be particularly virulent, but not particularly deadly. And the powers that be are going to milk this situation to advance their designs. Just this week, since our last show, here where I live, the order for people to, quote-unquote, shelter at home and the closure of all non-essential businesses was issued. Now, at the moment that it was issued, a grand total of 0.0008% of the population of this county had tested positive. 0.4 more zeros and then an 8. 0%, basically, had tested positive. And you have this massive lockdown. Now, the Celt in me does not like a forced lockdown, I can tell you that. Although, at the same time, I didn't see people taking it too seriously, nor really should they. I mean, use precaution. Don't go out and try to get something. Something's out there. It's true. You'd rather not have it than get it. But the day after the order to shelter at home was put into effect, it looked like everybody was sheltering in place at Chick-fil-A at the parking lot. I got an email this week from everybody I have ever done business with. Any store, any company I've ever bought anything with, they're sending me these things. A pool supply store said, we're open. We're an essential business. A dumpster. My parents moved out of their home last December. I bought a dumpster for them to throw away some stuff. The dumpster company said, we care about you. We've been wiping down our dumpsters so you don't get sick. The dumpster company doesn't care about this. What is all this pressure, all this peer pressure in corporate America to pretend? You almost have to pretend that this is the end of the world or you're going to get shamed on social media or something. I took my car to the dealership to have it serviced, and in spite of the lockdown order, I didn't see a lot of sheltering in place. The street traffic appeared to me on Thursday the same, even though most everything was closed. Ultimately, I think it's a tale as old as time. An opportunity to create a panic manifests itself, and then the governments use that, the media use that, because they know people will the media does it to get clicks. I mean, sensational stories sell. The government does it because they know if there's a panic, the people will clamor for them to protect them, and in doing so, they can extract more of your rights. 9/11, tragic, yes, three buildings fell, we got the Patriot Act. Coronavirus, it's killed, 2,000 people nationwide, and the world has stopped spinning. Sam Bushman has been covering this every day on his daily radio program. We cover it once a week. We've got issues, sub-issues, each segment going forward this hour. And Sam knows what they are, and we'll get to them one by one. But Sam, just break down the highlights. What do you want to say?
You know, you said you started out, James, and you said, hey, I don't know if this is man-made. I don't know if it's, government-produced. The best research I can come up with is as follows, believe it or not, which is this. It is naturally created, if you will. All right? However, government has taken a natural virus that normally would just be in the wild and would mutate like, the flu or whatever else. and it wouldn't be as bad. It wouldn't be as virulent. It wouldn't be as deadly. And government has taken that into the lab, and they have literally weaponized it. And then in that lab, they have weaponized it, and there's three main countries that are responsible right now. The United States, through a North Carolina lab, China, and then the country of Australia. And their fingerprints are all over this. And WorldNet Daily, WND.com, has a great article on this. Look for whose fingerprints are on the coronavirus. And I believe what they've done is they've weaponized this virus. They've mixed it together with a little bit of HIV so that it enters through your lungs. They have literally created a way for it to be continued mutating. They have done a bunch of things to it. Now, I believe it did get released by accident from China. And so I believe almost all the stories you're hearing are true. You're just hearing pieces of the story. Yes, it's natural. Yes, it's weaponized and man-made or man-manipulated. Yes, it got leaked from China. It's dishonest to say that it's a China virus, per se. But since it leaked from China, you could call it the China virus. Some are saying that's racist. I reject that notion. But the reality is that our fingerprints are on it as much as the Chinese. But I do believe it might have happened through these animal examples that they give, where you go to the, you know, street vendors or whatever and buy these animals. It might have been animals that were, you know, in the labs or whatever, and then those animals were sold to these, I don't know what you call them. We don't have them in America, but these outdoor, the closest thing we have it to are farmers markets, but these are animal markets. And anyway, so it could have leaked that way, just like they're saying. And I will say this, though. I do believe it was accidentally leaked, and I'm going to tell you why. If it was created in a lab and it was truly intended to be weaponized, I think they would have weaponized it much further. I think they were on their way, and I think the Almighty allowed it to leak. And I think it's a blessing that it leaked, because now it's out in the wild and we can develop immunities to it. And so that's the origins and the history and the reality, and I think it's a blessing that it got leaked. Now, I know I'll be attacked relentlessly. It's kind of like James Edwards highlighting that little note on his website where a black guy said, you know, he's kind of grateful for slavery because, and he's not endorsing slavery, but he's saying because we came to America and there's been blessings for generations after, was his point. Same thing's true here. I'm not like excited for the coronavirus. Don't misunderstand the point. But I am saying, you know what? It's a blessing. It could have been weaponized by governments and made way worse for massive population control. And that's what I believe is the end game. And if you go talk to Stephen Mosher over at pop.org, he's even talking about some of these things, saying, hey, you know what, you can't trust the Chinese, and the whole world's after population control, and now Bill Gates, who said he wanted to use vaccines for the population control efforts, now is saying he's going to be one of the chief folks. He quit Microsoft, did you know, so that Bill Gates can spend full time on his foundations and help develop these vaccines. So you know population control eventually is at the end of this road. And you know that, you know what, however it was made isn't really important, but to study the history and to study the realities and who's done what and who's said what along the way is critical. And population control is their end game. The abortion clinics are staying open. Remember, they're essential service of murder. James?
Yep, that's what, there's so many essential businesses, apparently, and that's just one of the many that should be closed. That are not. When we come back, we're going to talk about the $6 trillion stimulus, so-called. I call it robbing the American people blind. That was passed. That's the next segment. That's where our focus is going to be.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, I don't even call this man a guest. He is the owner of the Liberty News Radio Network. He is the host of Liberty Roundtable, Monday through Saturday talk show. He takes the Sabbath off and keeps it holy. But Sam Bushman, our friend, our mentor, he's back with us. The coronavirus is the topic this hour, but we got some sub-topics related to it, of course, that we're going to be covering here in segments 2, 3, and 4. In the next segment, we're going to ask, kill the economy or kill the virus? That's been the big debate this week. Would you rather catch the virus or lose your job? A provocative question that Sam posed on his show. That's what we're going to be talking about in the next segment. In the fourth segment, the article Sam mentioned about projections being overblown and possible treatments. Is it as simple as vitamin C, water, and sunlight? That's coming up later this hour, too. But first, the $6 trillion money grab. That's what we're going to be talking about this segment. When I saw that they were looting, I don't even guess they're really looting the Treasury. It's not like they opened up a vault, went in there and got $6 trillion out, because we're a fiat fake, you know, economy anyway now. I guess they just added $6 trillion of debt onto the spreadsheet at some keyboard, however they do it. But $6 trillion, I saw that and I started laughing. It made me think, does anybody remember the 90s comedies with Mike Myers, the Austin Powers movies, where Dr. Evil is the villain in it, and he was cryogenically frozen in the 60s, and then when he was thawed out in the 90s, you know, things had changed, and he didn't have really the value of a dollar. He couldn't, you know, he was going to hold the world ransom for $1 million. And he realized, you know, he had to be told by his lieutenant that, you know, that's not really a lot of money anymore. Anyway, it made me think of that. And I going back to my coming of years age in the mid to late 90s, quick clip from Austin Powers.
Here's the plan. We get the warhead and we hold the world ransom for $1 million.
Don't you think we should maybe ask for more than $1 million? $1 million isn't exactly a lot of money these days. Virtucon alone makes over $9 billion a year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. Okay, then. We hold the world ransom for $100 billion.
Those were good movies. $100 billion. Well, that's not a drop in the bucket to $6 trillion. And Pat Buchanan wrote an article about this. A lot of people have been talking about it. This is another thing that just led me to believe that this whole thing is a sham and a fleece down of the American people. So we're supposed to be, you know, this global killer, this virus that's just so, so deadly. And we got to get money into the taxpayers' hands. We got to do it for the people. Well, you know, the Republicans did it too, but the Democrats were even worse, I think. They were just flooding this 1,400-page piece of legislation that just, you know, came out of nowhere, you know, the next day with all their pork projects. You got, just for an example, $300 million for PBS. That was included in this spending bill, which, of course, promotes LGBT, you know, Q agenda to school kids, mandating diversity on corporate boards as a condition of companies receiving funds, election reforms to increase Democratic turnout. I mean, all this was just piled into this bill. I mean, you're dealing with something so serious, but, you know, you're going to pour in a $35 million stipend for the Kennedy Center. The Kennedy Center is a performing arts venue. I mean, Sam, what in the fresh hell does that have to do with you know, this?
Well,
this
and ironically, James, you can't even go there now. Right? I mean, you're not even supposed to go there, buddy. You got to do like social distancing and all those places are closed and you'd have to go virtually anyway. Maybe they need to upgrade so they can do virtual entertainment. Maybe that's the deal. But it doesn't make any sense. It just shows the irony right there.
Well, and now you've heard Dr. Fauci saying it's going to be a seasonal thing now. I mean, this is never going away. It's going to be seasonal. Do we add $6 trillion to the debt every winter now, Sam? Do we shelter in place for weeks every season? I mean, what's going on? Your take on the $6 trillion deal.
All right. Well, I'll say this. It reminds me of The Boy That Cried Wolf. Do you know that story, James?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you do, right?
Is that one of Aesop's fables? I know all about Aesop.
Yes, you do, sir. Has the government become the boy that cries wolf, though? And I think the answer is yes. I think they've reached too far on this. And when we say this is a sham, let's be very clear about this for a minute. I'm not saying that the virus isn't real. And I'm not saying it's not deadly to certain people. Because I believe it is real. It can be deadly. But listen, folks. They're taking this way too far. And I believe that they are using this, as they say, to never let a good crisis go to waste. And they are milking this for all it is worth. And I posed on my show solutions for this, which we can get to later. But I'm telling you that, you know what, folks, there's 105,421 cases of corona in the United States. All right. They say that's more than any other country. I don't believe it because I believe China's just not tracking their cases properly. And I don't believe they've stopped it in China either, by the way. Most people are going to get the coronavirus, and they're going to never know they had it, folks. Worldwide, first of all. Because you know what? In most cases, 85%, the symptoms are very mild, and people don't even really know, and they can't even discern it separately from the flu or any other respiratory illness they've had for year after year after year for decades anyway. But 105,421 people and 1,708 deaths across the United States so far. That's all we've had. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying those 1,708 people don't matter. What I am saying is most of them are elderly. Most of them are smokers. Most of them have conditions, underlying health conditions. And so I'm not saying their lives matter any less. I'm just saying that you cannot blame it on the coronavirus. Let's take this, James. I have lung problems because I'm a smoker. I've got infections. I then get the coronavirus and die. Did I die because of a heart attack? Did I die because of my infections? Did I die because I was a smoker? Did I die because of lung problems? Did I die because of pneumonia? Or did I die because of the corona? And this is the case that we have all over the country where we don't really know these people all died from corona. We're just going to blame it on corona because we say the test is positive that they had it. But are you ready? Most of the tests come from China. Did you know that? And China has a 30% failure rate on a lot of their tests. So we don't even know the true numbers or the true reality of this whatsoever, but here's what we do know. We know that they have created the biggest bailout, the biggest spend, $2.2 trillion signed by Trump, and then $4 trillion of backup Federal Reserve spending. So this thing really amounts to $6.2 trillion, the biggest spend in the history of the world, James. Donald runs around for months and says, we will never be a socialist country. And then he says, I will never sign these big, massive spending bills ever again. And now, because of the coronavirus, $6.2 trillion, and Donald signs it with a smile. One guy criticizes. One guy says, no, I don't think this is right. Do you know who it was? Thomas Massie.
Yeah. I was trying to put
Congressman Thomas Massie, and he did not sign it. And he said, the reason why is I don't believe in this kind of spending. I promised I'd be a constitutionalist that I'm going to stick with it. And he said, no. And Donald absolutely slaughtered him for saying no. He was the only one. The senators was 96-0. They claimed it was unanimous, but Rand Paul, Mike Lee, and others didn't even get a chance to vote because they're quarantined. Rand, because he has the corona. Mike Lee, because he got near Rand and thought he might be infected. I think the answer is no, but he's still quarantined nevertheless. To make a long story short, they claim it was unanimous, 96-0, but there was four people that didn't even vote, and there's virtually no opposition except for one guy, Thomas Massie. And the only other person speaking out against it boldly is Sam Bushman, saying this is an absolute, well, you say we'll never be a socialist nation? That was the biggest lie I've ever seen. We've got the biggest socialist spend any nation has ever committed to, ever, in the history of the world, James.
Hey, you just heard him. That's why we brought him on this hour. We'll be back. We've got two more segments just like it with Sam Bushman here on TPC Live. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump says he's considering an enforceable quarantine to keep people safe in the areas hardest hit by the coronavirus.
I am now considering, and we'll make a decision very quickly, very shortly, a quarantine because it's such a hot area of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. We'll be announcing that one way or the other fairly soon.
He says he's spoken with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo about the quarantine, but the governor says that actually hasn't happened yet. The president says other states are also at risk.
There's a possibility that we'll do a quarantine short term, 2 weeks, on New York, probably New Jersey, certain parts of Connecticut. Restrict travel. Because they're having problems down in Florida. A lot of New Yorkers going down. We don't want that.
This is USA Radio News.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The governor of Rhode Island said police officers are pulling over cars and knocking on doors to track down visitors from New York as part of an effort to stem the spread of the coronavirus. He said travelers from New York in Rhode Island will be forced to quarantine for 14 days. Rhode Island isn't the only state working to restrict travel amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Alaska is requiring a 14-day quarantine for anyone outside the state. Hawaii is asking visitors to stay away, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said anyone from the New York area must stay in quarantine for 2 weeks after arriving in Florida. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear is urging residents not to travel to Tennessee. The Florida Highway Patrol is installing checkpoints at the state border to keep visitors from coronavirus hotspots from crossing the state line. The restrictions come as the U.S. overtook Italy with the most number of known coronavirus cases in the world. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, Sam, you know what we want to talk about this segment, but very quickly as you can. You just heard the news break where, you know, the Kentucky governor saying don't travel into Tennessee. I think they're about to, you know, completely cut off New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. Don't, you know, Florida. You know, we're not talking about a cordon sanitaire that they're putting in. I mean, this is stuff, people aren't even listening to it. But you've got this panic and you've got this hysteria. Now, here's what I know. I know that the media lies about everything. You know that they do. We know that the international governments of this world, almost without exception, are criminally corrupt. We know that they are. But in this case, the media and the governments are telling us the whole truth and nothing but the truth to protect us because they love us so much. Look, I'm not saying I know exactly what it's all about. I do think they're using this to fund a lot of projects and rob from the people. But there are a lot of people even on our side that get militantly defensive if you say if anything like we're saying on this show tonight, if you don't buy the narrative. Even people that are regular guests on this show, who I love, and I just disagree with them on this. They're still great guys. I'll still work with them, you know, of course. But this thing doesn't pass the smell test, Sam.
No, it doesn't. And look, by their fruits shall ye know them, James. Don't forget that phrase. It's biblical. It's reality. It's a standard by which we can really understand. By their fruits shall you know them. So let me just talk about Donald Trump for a second in this economy. Economists are saying now that the U.S. is already in a recession. The head of the International Monetary Fund said on Friday it is clear that the global economy has now officially entered a recession. It's going to be worse than the 2008 recession as well. And she says basically the only way out of it is for us to get a handle on the coronavirus. And it would only occur if we basically handled the economy right. Well, that's a huge, huge statement. Then she goes on and says, we expect a recovery to happen sometime in 2021 if you manage it right. If not, it'll be longer and worse. All right, so here's the point that I'm getting at. By their fruits shall ye know them. I warned you Donald was a wolf in sheep's clothing from the beginning. And everybody said, oh, Sam, you're just a naysayer. You'll never be happy. You're goofy. Come on, Sam. Okay, now look. The, quote, greatest freedom president in our lifetime, and we've given him that title because he's deserved it in many ways, okay? And we got to give him a little bit of credit because in Utah, our governor, and in the United States, Donald has not issued edicts of lockdown, and neither has my governor. But in Salt Lake City, the mayor of Utah has, or the mayor of Utah, I should say Salt Lake City in Utah has. So the governor for the state of Utah says it's not a lockdown. It's a good recommendation. Please stay home, guys. And that's what President Trump has said. But the mayor of Salt Lake City, this psychotic socialist Democrat lady mayor, she's literally said, hey, I'm going to add penalties to the recommendations and I'm going to codify it by law or by my edict as mayor. You get caught violating the stay at home order, and you're going to have fines up to $1,000 and 6 months in jail. She's saying that openly right now. Okay, she's crossed the line, folks. This is out of control. Well, I bring this up because I commend President Trump for not pushing for a lockdown. However, I will say this. President Trump has created the biggest spend, which I submit to you there will never be a way to pay off the national debt, a never way to turn around. And we've known that for some time, but now this puts it into the stratosphere. This is 25% of the national debt literally overnight we've committed to. Donald says we won't be a socialist nation, and now he's literally gone on socialist psychosis. He's gone crazy for socialism and spent us into oblivion and criticized anyone who seems to say, wait a minute, that is not what we ought to do. So Donald then literally wrecked the economy with his guidelines. He literally closed, for the most part, the whole nation. You can say, no, Sam, the gas station's open and the stores are open. Yeah, but when you go to the store, you're going to buy one of this, one of that, if it's even on the shelf. When you go to your restaurant, you can't sit down and eat in there. You've got to, you know, order takeout or whatever. So he's literally remade the economy to where now we are officially globally and in the United States in a recession. Everybody admits it. In other words, We have taken this coronavirus without real evidence, without real documented numbers. Even ask all of them. When you push them for numbers and say, compare it to the flu, they say, we're still waiting on the data is what they say. And if you're still waiting on the data, then why would you wreck the United States and wreck the global economy over it? And they've
absolutely
already done it.
Okay, so
they've
Sam,
already done
Sam.
It. There's no way to back out now. It's already done, James.
That's right. I mean, how many people in retail, in tourism, in the service economy, I mean, so many businesses are never coming back from this.
And
I
they
mean,
say you millions know, have already filed for unemployment, too. The data's coming in
and these
so
people,
fast,
by
they've
the
already
way,
wrecked the economy.
They're going to get their unemployment plus a $600 a week bump plus their $1,200 check. But look, so Pat Buchanan wrote the column. And a lot of people, again, that I follow on Twitter and that follow me on Twitter, a lot of people are saying, oh, no, this is right. Yeah, we got to do this to the economy.
Okay, by their
this
fruits,
virus is
shall
kill
you
us
know
all.
Them. We've already
kill
destroyed
the
economy.
Kill the virus. And then you, Sam, that was Pat Buchanan's question in his column. Do we kill the economy or kill the virus?
They've
and
already
you
killed
the
economy,
though.
We can't ask that question anymore. They've already done it.
Okay, all right. Well, fair point. But this I got to shoehorn in. You asked the question on your show, and I put it as a poll on my Twitter account. You asked on your show, would you rather get the coronavirus or lose your job? I put the question to Twitter. 56% said they'd rather lose their job. 43% said get the coronavirus. So not exactly a landslide. Your take on all that?
My take is this. We've already trashed the economy, so that's not a choice anymore. I don't know how many people will lose their job. A lot of jobs might be secure. Time will tell. The big bailout pretends to save us. What I mean is, it will save us in the short term. What it will do is dump the debt on you at a later date if we can handle it that long, or it'll dump it on your children. So you might skate at your children's expense. That's true. But we're delaying the inevitable. And I would much rather have the coronavirus than lose my job or lose the economy. And I'll tell you why. Because we can get through this coronavirus. Now, listen to me carefully. 85%+ of the people have mild symptoms and don't even need to go to the hospital or anything. It's just mild. Only 5% literally go to the hospital and less than that need some kind of a serious intervention. All right? And literally, we're to the point where it's less than 1% die from this thing. It looks higher right now because they're playing games with the numbers. They won't set it up on the screen side by side with the flu or you'd know the truth. And that's how you can know by their fruits. Donald has already ruined the economy. And if they really want to know the truth, why don't you put up a screen for me, a big, you know, Jumbotron screen, and you show me the number of flu one cases, positive tested cases, and the number of deaths, okay? And you then put up the coronavirus and you show me the cases and the deaths. And then beside that, you put the accuracy of the testing. And then you put one more piece of data, the population that this relates to. And I'm telling you, they won't do it because you'll know the truth. And yes, this is more virulent than the flu a little bit. And yes, it's a little bit more deadly. But you know what? It's not enough. Okay, we are engaged in the what they call the most significant industrial mobilization, they claim, since World War II. They're talking about saying now we have a, quote, wartime president fighting an invisible enemy. Who am I talking about? Who's saying this stuff? Well, Donald Trump has named or appointed Peter Navarro to head up what's called the Defense Production Act. He's the policy coordinator there. Now, do you know what the Defense Production Act is, folks? It's where government by law, this has been in place since the 1950s and it's been used several times. This is where the government literally gets to force the private sector, force free enterprise to do the bidding of government. It is fascism on psychotic steroids. Okay, and so you look at this and you go, President Trump has already forced GM to make ventilators, and they didn't make them fast enough. So Donald Trump started literally ridiculing them and browbeating them into making them faster, and he's literally ordered GM, your plants will move to creating these ventilators, these respirators. Okay, what on earth is going on? So the businesses that are still open are being converted to do government bidding by force of law or shutdown. Okay, this is not
Sam,
a joke.
A question.
Yes, sir.
No, it's not a joke. And we're not joking about it, of course, but I'm a father. You're a father of eight. Our first duty on this earth is, of course, to serve God and then to protect our families. And, you know, knowing what we know about this, knowing what they tell us and then what we believe, what advice would you give to our audience members with regards to keeping ourselves safe without feeding into the hysteria?
All right.
What are you telling your children?
I believe the first thing you need to do is practice a lot of the suggestions they give. Remember, whenever they have a real crisis, you know that there's legitimacy to it. There is a real crisis and there is legitimacy. Staying at home is a good idea. Practicing the social distancing is a good idea. Okay. Doing your very best to protect the most vulnerable among you, which is the elderly and those who have underlying health conditions and et cetera. Those are all wise things to do. But remember, and listen carefully to what I'm about to say, I believe that basically half of Europe already has it, and it won't be long till a significant, way, way greater than the numbers they're saying, of Americans have already got it. We're getting close to herd immunity, ladies and gentlemen. They don't want to admit herd immunity naturally. They want to wait for the vaccine and then declare herd immunity. Let's hang on and we'll talk about that and more.
Here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
The runner on third takes a short lead. Elwood glances over. Now back to the plate. He sets the pitch. It's swung on. Strike three. They've won it. They have won it. World champions. Jim, what's it like down on the field?
John, it's a madhouse down here. I'm trying to get to Bob Elwood, the winning pitcher. Bob, how does it feel? Winning the seventh game on a strikeout.
Yeah, I thought he'd be looking for a slider, so I came on with my fastball.
World champions! Is this the greatest moment of your life?
Absolutely not. Jim, the best moments for me are breakfast with the kids, long walks with my wife, just holding her hand, you know?
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Jim, when was the last time you held your wife's hand?
Well, it's been a while.
I tell you, you need to step up to the plate, Jim.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Back to get on the show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, coming up in the next hour, ladies and gentlemen, we have the highest ranking medical authority that would agree to come on this show joining us. Okay, so stay tuned for that. Special treat coming up as we continue to talk about the coronavirus. In the next hour, we will have the highest ranking medical authority that would agree to come on TPC, okay? So that's what's coming up. Next week, speaking of coming up, Confederate History Month begins. Our annual series got a nice card in the mail on Confederate stationery, no less, from a listener down in Florida who writes, "Dear Mr. Edwards, Mr. Alexander, and TPC crew, in anticipation of Confederate History Month, I make my quarterly contribution tonight in honor of a few of my ancestors who helped invent it." And he lists five of his Confederate ancestors that fought in the war for Southern independence. It encourages me that there are still loyal Confederates such as you gentlemen fighting for our just cause. God save the South. That comes from Allen down in Florida. And the reason I bring that up is that also included in that stationery was a quote from Robert E. Lee that is applicable to this situation that we're currently finding ourselves in with coronavirus and every situation. Robert E. Lee said, "I am opposed to the theory of doing wrong that good may come of it. I hold to the belief that you must act right, whatever the consequences." Sam?
And that's why I say, James, by their fruits shall you know them. Look, this is no good. They are in a fundamental remaking of America. Do I believe they unleashed and created the virus for that purpose? No, I do not. Do I believe they're taking advantage of a great opportunity, never letting it go to waste? Absolutely. But you know what? We the people need to blame ourselves, James. We should be the ones pushing back. When my governor said, "Please stay at home, guys. This is a directive, not an order. Please, this is serious," I respect him for that. When the mayor of Salt Lake City said, "We're going to put law behind this. You know what? $1,000 fines and you're going to jail for 6 months if you violate it." I reject her psychotic attack on my rights and liberty. Okay, there's a fine line there that we the people need to learn to understand about liberty. And I'm telling you, they're never letting a good crisis go to waste. And Donald, sadly, is at the helm of this. I don't know if he's doing it on purpose or if he's snookered, but either way, he's ignorant. And the fact is that they're remaking America. They're literally using this force of law to make companies work flat out for the deep state. Okay? GM is being forced to make ventilators. You've got a situation where the economy, we can't debate if we want to let the economy get ruined over stopping the coronavirus. We've already destroyed the economy. We've already been into this for almost a month now or 3 weeks or whatever it is to the point where we've already destroyed the economy. Many of these businesses couldn't crank up now if they wanted to. It's 3 weeks. Well,
what they can do, Sam, is get a loan from the government so they can go further in debt.
Yeah,
that's
but all
available.
That means they'll be further in debt. And then remember, whenever you get a loan from the government, now the government's going to watch everything you do. And if you basically talk about, you know, it's the Chinese virus, then you're a racist. And they're going to basically say you can't do that while you're on government money. And we're going to go right on down. Everyone will be under the government gun in this case to obey, to toe the line, to, okay, this is a dictatorial takeover like you have not ever seen in your life of the economy, of society, of schools. Now all the government schools are in your home, folks. If you have your kids go to government school, they've managed to have you pay for the classroom. And now they've got this eyes and ears and TV. They're probably having your kids do PE on TV or two-way screens in your home, just like 1984, people. Okay, this is out of control. And so by their fruits shall you know them. And so what I'm telling my children is this. I believe this is a dry run. I don't believe this is the real deal yet. They're not ready to pull the plug completely on the economy, and they're not ready to turn us into a new world global order yet. But this is a huge step, and they wanted to see how hard the people would push back, and the people have rolled over and played dead. And the reality is that they're remaking America right now. The elitists who are doing this are laughing because we rolled over way easier than they ever thought we would. We're all in a panic. We're all running around fighting over toilet paper. And they literally have the government school in your house like 1984, two-way TV. Do your exercises, right? Okay, literally go read 1984 and see if I know what I'm talking about. Okay, and they've got this going on. But here's my point. I tell my children this is not the real deal. It's the dry run. You will see the economy recover. You will see us get back to, for the most part, normal life with a few fundamental changes. Government will be deep in the pockets of everyone and deep into everyone's lives. Everyone will cash the check. Everyone will be on the dole. We will basically be way more socialist than we've ever been. We'll never be able to go back from that Rubicon crossing that we just crossed. Donald Trump will go down in history as the most socialist bailout president in the world's history. Okay, that's all true. And it's a sad tale.
The Fed's
going to
own everything. The Fed will own everything.
It's a sad tale to tell. However, I want to say this before we end the hour, though. And let's be very clear about this. Are we experiencing a coronavirus, Great Awakening, sometimes the most important ingredient for spiritual awakening, growth, and renewal is a cataclysmic event. I believe that's what we're facing. They're doing it on purpose. They might not have created the virus on purpose, but they are having government become involved in every part of your life with everyone willing. Anybody who criticizes it gets attacked, even by our supposed friends. By their fruits shall you know them. It's the great American New Deal, Donald's deal. The art of the deal has sold you down the river, never to return. Remember that. Now, they had a model that they depended on all this. They didn't have good data, I told you, and they're claiming they don't have enough data, remember? But they had bad data, and the one who created the model of the data they're using admits he was wrong. Here it is, James.
Yeah, so you sent me a sobering article that I posted to my Twitter account that puts a damper on some of the panic. Now, look, you're going to find doctors that believe this is the fire and brimstone. It's everything they say it is and worse. But interestingly, I received a piece of personal correspondence from a radiologist in another country who is also a donor to TPC. And I owe you an email back, brother, and it's coming. Who referred to now this is a radiologist we're talking about. Highly respected, still practicing, who referred to recent events as the COVID scheme and the coronavirus sham in his email to me. But this this article that you sent me, Sam, it's from the Population Research Institute, and the headline reads, "Why Coronavirus Stats Can Be Misleading, Resulting in Overblown Projections."
Now, it highlights the model they were using for all this basically underestimated the number of people who have the disease, overestimated the number of people that will die, and literally, in the end of the day, they admit that the virus has been around well over a month earlier than they are admitting. And when you put that together, this thing is way more than a month in than we thought, which means we're all countries are further along than we thought. You know, we think this is just starting right now, and it's gonna crest in several months, and oh my gosh, this has been around a lot longer. And the deaths are overstated, and the number of cases are understated, making us believe it's just this horrible, horrible death killer everywhere. And the physicians who created this model that they were basing everything off of admitted that it's completely wrong. And here's what's fascinating. I went to an alternative dentist. It's a legitimate dentist, but I say alternative because they do surgery and they do all kinds of whole body dentistry. And I told this lady that I thought it started earlier than claimed, and her response was, no doubt it started last fall. All I'm telling you is we're being snookered on this. Is it real? Yes. Can people die? Yes. You should not panic and fear. You should know that, you know what? In the middle of a storm, it's hard to see the sun come out. In the middle of a sunny day, it's hard to know there's ever a storm, right? Okay, we will come out of this storm, and the sun will shine again, and life will, for the most part, get back to normal. But you will have America remade without realizing it. They have done this.
I'll tell you this.
They have done this, and there's no way to stop it now.
You're right. And what that new reality looks like after, you know, as our friend Rich Hamblin said, this thing will go back to normal when they get tired of robbing us blind, which is what they're doing, of course, right now. But, you know, I've talked to in the last 2 weeks, six currently practicing registered nurses and three currently practicing doctors who either believe it's total malarkey or it's not nearly as bad as they're saying. Now, for every one person in the medical field that we could get that says that, you could find that many and more that does it. But the point is, there's no consensus in the medical community.
Well, and the point is, they don't have data to prove it either. And if you really study it in Utah, for example, there's 602 cases that have been tested or that have the virus that have been confirmed positive. 602. There's a little over 11,000 tests that have been conducted, a population of 3.2 million, and they literally only have two deaths so far. Okay, this is the extreme that they're going to, and they're literally locking down all of Salt Lake City with penalties of 6 months in jail if you violate it. They are out of control, and they are robbing you of your liberty. Forget about your money. That's only a piece of the pie. They're robbing you of your liberty, and I'm telling you, they will remake America, and each generation will be much more socialist. And the guy that said America will never be socialist is the guy that literally changed the world without you knowing it. He literally allowed it to happen on his watch in the United States, and America will never be the same again, never. and we will never be socialist? Well, we just passed the biggest socialism redistribution of wealth package the world has ever known to date. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
The citizens need Big Brother to protect them, Sam.
No, they do not. The citizens need to rise up and say, you know what? Get down from your high horse. Get down from your palaces. We're not going to tolerate this. Americans should not take this laying down. We shouldn't have allowed this bailout to happen. We should fire every single one of them. The only one, Thomas Massie, in my opinion, deserves credibility. And you can say, well, I need the money, Sam. I can't help it. Well, say what you want, but I'm telling you, you will notice later, America will never be the same again.
Hey, folks, if you've liked what you've heard from Sam, he's doing it 6 days a week at LibertyRoundtable.com, and it's every bit as good as what you heard tonight. So check it out. He continues the coverage during the week. We do it here on Saturday night. When we come back, you're going to hear from Sonny Thomas, but also from a medical professional. So stay tuned. It's coming up next as we continue this discussion.